This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, so first, I guess, call to order, roll call. Sure.
Here.
She's running late. Excuse.
Here. Unexcused.
Here. Here. What was that? He'll be here later. Excuse. Unexcused. Excuse.
Here.
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 Here. Unexcused.
No.
That is me.
Okay. So, first on the agenda is open microphone, and because we have so many fans with us, I guess there's no one saying anything. So next is announcements and reports. And that is Appropriations Committee.
I'm trying to bring up the agenda, man. I have a resolution open. I have officially closed my last Appropriations Committee, so there's no Appropriations Committee next week for you guys to attend. I know you all look forward to it so much. So.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you feel the task force is working?
I've been pretty happy with it. They've met with every group that was recommended a decrease, even though we didn't release the reports. And they're in the process of writing them right now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to get them in by the Thursday meeting.
Can I talk to you after?
Sure.
Okay. Next on the agenda is Resolution 48, amending, addressing the Student Activity Fee Endowment Fund.
Cool. Is there somewhere I go to be, like, on the stand?
I think it's
no, that's fine. Okay. How much time do I have?
2 minutes.
Okay. So I'm going to try and get through this in 2 minutes. So hopefully all of you guys, if not the majority of you, attended session that we had on Saturday about the endowment. So to summarize in as few as words as possible, earlier in the decade, they started pulling $5 out of the SAF allocation every year, put it into this endowment that they hoped would one day cover the SAFC portion of the student activity fee. If you look at the appendix to Resolution 48, you can see we calculated out how long that would take. It would basically be twice the lifespan of the current university, which we did not think was an efficient use of $5 every year, nor the opportunity cost of what we could do with that money in the interim. This has been in the works for a little over 2 years now. We vetted it at Exec and APSCOM for about 2 months. And the resolution that we came to that we thought best utilize this fund for students was to A, close the $5 that is currently going into the endowment, B, pull out a amount from the endowment every year so that that money could be pulled out and used in the current year. But the endowment would also be able to grow so that the amount that would be able to be pulled out the next year would be 5% higher than the amount that was pulled out this year, so that it would grow by 5% every 2 years. So that way students would have this fund would have the opportunity to grow in line with other costs on campus. And essentially what those, by the way, I'm coming up on 30 seconds here, so I would appreciate a motion to extend if it comes to that.
Okay.
So, in essence, what those funds are going to be used for is a new committee under the Student Assembly, which I have deemed the Student Assembly Innovation Fund, working title, open to suggestions. And in essence, what this committee would do is they would use these funds, which in the original year would be about $20,000, and they would be able to use these funds to fund startup projects on campus or initiatives that don't otherwise have access to funding. So a lot of the times we have the groups that either, you know, Anisha's CU Rescue app is a perfect example. Watchers is an example that comes to mind. It could be anything like a response to, you know, the mental health or the personal safety incidents on campus, and someone wants to start an initiative on the spot to respond to them. We just realized that a lot of the times those startup projects don't often get don't have access to the same levels of funding because they're not like student organizations that apply for funds year after year or things like that. The way it works is if there's any money left in the fund at the end of the year, it would just be put back into the endowment so it would grow. And thank you, Matt, for that great suggestion. Other than that, the process for allocating the funds is set forth in the resolution. Hopefully you guys have all read the eligibility and the permitted and prohibited applications and prohibited ones. Finally, I know that this is like a pretty big deal, and it's something that has been in the works for a long time. And basically, if you guys read the very last "be it therefore resolved" clause, it makes it so that anything we pass this semester is non-binding. What it will do is automatically, if we pass this resolution this semester, it'll cut off the $5 going into the endowment so that the SAFC gets that money back right away, and then basically puts the onus on the executive board that's coming in next year to represent this resolution after, you know, speaking with assembly members, both current and new, and working out any kinks that might exist. But, you know, for the record, currently Ari Epstein, the current Office of the Assembly's Director, and Dean Hubble, the Dean of Students, both support this resolution, what it accomplishes and the direction it's going. So.
Okay. I'm going to, hold on, I'm just pulling up a Word document. Open up the speakers list.
Okay. In the SAF, I don't know what page I'm on, but down in section 7, where it's the eight prohibited applications,
mm-hmm.
It says that not a project that applied for byline funding and didn't receive it. And then earlier you say that one of the requirements is that they've exhausted all forms of funding, including byline. So this seems to require that they apply for byline and require that they didn't apply for byline.
So the previous thing that they could have utilized or exhausted sources of campus, it does say in a manner conducive to its timeline, it being the application. So in other words, like if this were an application that could have gone through the byline funding process and done something. So, like, a perfect example right now is an organization that currently, like, submitted a new application for byline funding. They clearly had an opportunity to try and get funds through the byline funding process. If byline funding says no to them, we're not, like, the stop gate.
So, but my question is, if a group legitimately tries byline, byline says, no, you can't get it from us, you're not qualified, right? That seems to fulfill now the requirement that...
No, so if byline says no, then they're totally fine to apply.
No, because here it says they can't have applied for the last byline cycle, so they'd have to wait 2 years before they could apply for this. Section 8. A project initiative that applied for and failed to receive byline funding during the last byline funding year.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I would be open to amending that.
Buck.
Do you want to make a formal?
I cannot yet.
I move to strike the clause in section C, subsection C.
Yep.
Okay. Opening up discussion on the amendment.
Call the question on the amendment.
Then call the question. Then seconded. Is there any dissent? Those in favor of striking that, please raise your hands. Those not in favor? 5 vote of 19, 0 abstentions. 19-0-0 pass. Are there 19 people here? Did I count right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yep, okay. Yeah.
That's
fine. Yeah, I'll sit down for it.
That's fine, I just threw it up.
Okay.
Alright. That's funny.
What?
That's funny.
Yeah. Alright. What was that? Oh, okay. Are you sure?
Okay. All right. Next on the speakers list is Representative Black.
Great. So I think overall this should be pretty simple to pass. Pretty much all we're saying is that we're striking the $5 SAFC allocation, putting over all this next semester anyway. But I guess now that we have Ramil and Adam who put a lot into this as well, we might as well ask you a couple questions. Specifically about the voting procedures, can you kind of explain the rationale behind this? Because sure. To me they seem a little convoluted. But I appreciate why you went there.
So Jeff is referring to Section 9, the 9BC technically, 9B1C.
Correct.
So basically the rationale behind the voting was the way that we do it in Appropriations Committee is the group applies for a maximum amount. A committee member can propose any number below that, and we vote from the top down until something gets a majority. So there were two things there. First of all, we wanted to make it so that an applicant could get more than they initially asked for, because these aren't byline funded organizations that have expertise in funding and do this year after year, like these are startup projects. So someone might come to us and think that they only need $500 to do something, and we have committee expertise that says, actually, there's no way you're going to be able to do this for $500. You're going to need at least $1,000. But we think it's a great project, so we want to fund it. So that's the first thing, is allowing committee members to motion for above that threshold. The second thing was that because it is a $20,000 fund, we don't want it to just be a majority vote if you spend the entire $20,000 the first week of the semester. And granted, maybe a project comes up that really is that incredible that deserves the funding. But if that were the case, it would need a higher threshold. So the way that we do it right now is if you wanted to spend more than 75% of the fund on a single project, you would need a 4/5 majority. If you wanted to spend more than 50% of the entire fund on a single project, you need a 2/3 majority. And then any funding project that was less than 50% just needs a majority.
Can you talk about subsection C that says the first funding gift that receives a majority of voting present and more than 80% of the percentage of the available funding?
That's supposed to be less than 50. I forgot to make that. Someone pointed that out before.
Okay. So then I'm going to motion to amend more than 80% to less than 50%.
Friendly.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what was most confusing to me.
Sorry.
But okay.
Okay. Great. Moving on to the Ulysses.
Sorry. Really quick, can I motion to make this business of the day, not to vote, but just so I can get more feedback? This is only two meetings.
It is business of the day.
Oh, okay. All right, just kidding.
And then time, yeah.
Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion, Smith.
I agree with Justin the most part. I think I'm personally fine with stopping the flow of money into the endowment. However, Lord, the worst vibration ever. Obnoxious. However, I am not necessarily in favor of this and continuing this next year. I think we're essentially making this yet another funding board of the assembly, another funding board again. For the second vote, considering we already have to do special projects and blah, blah, blah through appropriations. I'm not convinced we're going to be dealing with violence funding next year. The other part of that is, I know an exec, when we initially talked about this, we talked about doing a capital project of some sort. Of course, I went to appropriations, they decided otherwise. However, I don't think there's been enough for something this major, especially when it's not technically got this money. I don't think there's been enough student input in this. But that's my take on this right now. So I have to say I'm not fairly strong supportive of this and doing a continuing
this. Just so we're clear, I don't know what it was set up before I took charge here, but I'm doing a minute for speaking time. I have a huge stopwatch if you'd like me to turn it around, but cool. There's actually no one else on the speaker list. Is there anybody? I'm sorry, Adam. That's Gitlin and then Marsha.
So I kind of agree about the funding board issue. I think that the entire section B about the voting procedures, I thought was honest, even kind of formal for what I originally had in mind for this. I thought it was more going to be like the Bartels co-sponsorship from the Dean of Students, where it's kind of informal. You have Dean Hubble and Susan Murphy discuss whether, you know, the project. Granted, there has to be some accountability in this, but I still do think that this is, you know, pretty formal, and is basically making another funding board, which I never really wanted. And then to address your issue, Ulysses, I think the reason that we didn't go with the capital expenditure was because there are so many competing interests, and that we didn't want to we didn't feel it was right to prioritize one over the other, whereas this can sustain many projects for years and years.
Oh, perfectly a minute. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Marshall.
I guess I kind of want to follow up with what you were saying, and that process with another funding board and how students are going to know this is available, and like, I hypothetically see a lot of the similar groups of students knowing this money's there and always taking advantage of it, or like, how is it going to be available to students to know about this if it's only coming up every so often? And then, and I don't know an internal discussion about this, but is there a way to have it be part of appropriations and not part of the other funding board, where like they come to appropriations where it's like, we need this, you know, situation, you're like, oh, we could use this funding, or is that?
Well, okay, so to answer the first one, like, we have a VP of Outreach, we have a VP of Diversity and Inclusion, we have a VP PR. We can make sure that the three of them will publicize that it's happening. It's not just going to be sitting there. I think the Bartels co-sponsorship does just sit there, but we're pretty good at, you know, getting stuff on listservs when we want to. To answer your other question, I think the idea of separating it came from the fact that appropriations comes from has a very different vision of looking at finance on campus than what the vision would be here. For them, they're trying to, you know, make organizations more efficient, to look for ways, you know, to better spend, you know, the money. Whereas this is more about innovation and trying to see, cap.
So like special projects. So I mean, that goes to appropriations and then comes before the SA. And I can see maybe that being a better method for this type of money that's sitting there. And if it is an awesome project and it should be funded, then I think the whole SA would agree that. Why can't it fit in the special projects funding?
So I think there's two elements there. The first is that we don't want the SA, like, we already, like, have trouble getting through our agenda as it is, and we don't want to have to deal with every, it's like, the grasp of groups that is eligible for this far exceeds the grasp of groups that is eligible for either byline funding or SA special projects, and I don't want to have the SA to, like, have to make a ruling on every single applicant that comes with this. As Adam said, we did think there was value to separating it at least somewhat from appropriations committee. On the PR thing, I think it's different than publicizing an event or an initiative. Like, everyone always wants money, and, like, I don't think it's, like, very hard to get the word out about the fact that, like, money is available. Like, the Bartels co-sponsorship literally, like, just has a website, and, like, half the campus knows about it.
The other thing is, good examples of how the Appropriations Committee cut down is Compost, or I can't remember if everyone also, but...
Yeah.
No, I know they got money, but if they were docked, but if they, what appropriations decided on was lower than what they...
It was.
It was lower?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying the idea behind this is empowering students to work on their own projects as opposed to the FA coming in and saying, you know, we're experts at all of these types of things around campus. We're going to, you know, put our 2 cents in. And part of it's accepting the fact that, you know, other people are better at, you know, working on their own initiatives than we are.
Great. I allowed a little bit of extra time there, clearly, but I think it was valuable. So next on to Representative Batista.
I'm just going to build off what Adam was just talking about in response to Jill's comment. I'm very in support of the FAIFC because I think even though it's a different funding board, it's a funding board with a different mission, and a lot of APSCOM members stress the fact that and that APSCOM can sometimes be stagnant because there's so many different limitations on what you can do. I think that this is going to give like a more dynamic culture to the FA, especially as being like outreach next year. I think that it's going to show more of a visible presence of the FA on campus, and like that's why I think the appropriations committee chose something like this over CapEx expenditures or something like putting it just back into the FASC, because it's lots of like these little sort of like startup projects that enhance the Cornell culture here on campus. Mm-hmm. And also if you like look at the composition, it's purposely made this way to not have a lot of APSCOM members and not have it be like dominated by like the FA exec board, and like you have 7 undergraduate representatives at large who have like the same
10 seconds.
You know, perspectives on campus. So I'm very supportive of this resolution.
Yeah. All right, great. Next on the first speakers list, which is coming to a close here, is Vice President of Finance Desai.
So just a couple quick points. First on accountability, if you guys notice, Dean Hubble does have to approve every funding gift that we do give, so there is like that accountability mechanism there. I understand that like we tried to make it as like fluid and like non-administrative as possible, but that being said, I do think there are some requirements that need to be put in so that like the funding process is done fairly. Also, like, I do want to kind of defend my committee a little bit. I don't feel comfortable saying that, like, they think that they know better than every other student on campus or that, you know, they, like, look down upon other students. I think when a project comes to us with a $1,500 request for a $4,000 special projects fund that isn't defined the first week of school, I don't think it's necessarily responsible for them to give out that $1,500 the first week. So I don't think that should necessarily be something that reflects poorly on APSCOM. I think that in itself reflects why this fund is needed, is that it's so hard to define special projects within the SA, which is supposed to be something that's part of our budget that goes towards our initiatives. And, you know, there's a resolution on the docket that tries to address that in some way. But, like, all of those things really, I think, should be going towards this type of fund, not Appropriations Committee. And I understand it is, like, another funding board, but I do think it fills a very gaping void on campus right now.
Can I clarify?
Sure, I'll give you another 30 seconds.
So I wasn't shitting on APSCOM. All I was saying was that, and I've served on APSCOM for 2 funding cycles. What I'm saying is, though, it's a very different vantage point, and that's okay, and we need that. Like, we need that group of students and that committee to do that, but that's not what the charge of this, you know, group would be.
Okay. That is the end of our first speakers list. If there's anybody who has not spoken that would like to speak, sure.
Sure. So it's on, I'm not exactly sure what page, but it's actually near the bottom. It's right before the speech. Let's talk about the composition of the committee. I guess, what was the rationale for it? Like, you have 8 voting members. What was the rationale for finance, outreach, and president on? Or do you see the need for other positions on that?
So outreach was like the main one there because we did see this as being something more where like the SA would be able to communicate with the needs on campus of students and like the initiatives that students need addressed. finance was purely for the sake of there is some overlap between appropriations and this, and I think it's useful to have that person, especially because like if they are voted the VP finance by the assembly, it's because they do have some sort of financial prowess, and I think that is kind of necessary. And then I think just for oversight, like, you know, as Adam said, the president of the SA normally
counterbalances the VP finance in some way, and that they see things, like their job is to see things more holistically and from the student vantage point, whereas the VP finance is supposed to be a little bit more fiscally responsible. And I just thought the three of those together like represented a very good essay contingency in terms of what we wanted this committee to reflect in terms of the purpose of it and the essay's mission as a whole.
Okay, I was just thinking that if you said like you want to communicate to the students, I thought that maybe PR would assist in that. I'm not sure what you're saying.
I think it's different in terms of the nature of like being a voting member of the committee, and that outreach wants, you want outreach there as a voting member to represent like what initiatives on campus need more attention from the student assembly and need like the student body wants addressed, as opposed to VPPR, which technically should be like PRing every initiative of the assembly, but that doesn't mean they need to be a part of every single committee or be a voting member of every initiative.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks.
Great. Anyone else who, Mr. Breeden?
Yeah, I think what Renee said made a lot of sense about, you know, the fact that, like, you know, PR isn't necessarily just really like outcome based, so like programmatic, like the PR outcome is absolutely. The one thing I was concerned about was that, you know, we got a lot of the other, like, you know, innovative ideas that have like figurehead ideas, a lot of stuff like that, like the, you know, like the concern about diversity, and there's like a lot of initiatives that happen in the multicultural realm that don't necessarily, you know, get funding or like get the, you know, the resources that they need, and to that end, I'm not sure how exactly, you know, be responsible for those initiatives. So, you know, I'm kind of interested in seeing, like, you know, could VP diversity inclusion, like, you know, what's the role that like that VP position could play on the PA? Because right now there's a bunch of stakeholders, and like there's the expertise that AFCON might bring. From, you said financial prowess. I don't know how much people have financial prowess in the AFCON. I think that's an overstatement, but I do think that there needs to be some, you know, inclusive efforts in terms of like diversity and multicultural, and I just don't think outreach is as encompassing as we would like to hope. So I would actually like to propose VP diversity inclusion sit on that committee as well.
Friendly. No?
Friendly. Okay. Did you want to formally make a motion?
Yeah,
could you say it again clearly, like, just clearly so we can have it for the recording and also for me?
In the list, okay. So, like, I don't have it in front of me, but like, in the list of committee memberships, I would like to add VP diversity inclusion.
Okay.
I think the last is where it's the amendment to the.
It's three.
Yeah.
It's
like second, for the result. Second to last. Three. Second to last.
Result.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Great.
So it would come in right under VP of Outreach, VP and President of the Assembly. Okay, cool. So you'd put it somewhere in there. The language doesn't matter. Let's put it after VP of Outreach. It would be Vice President.
And, yeah, VP Finance, VP Outreach.
Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion.
And then the President of
Outreach. Okay. Does everybody understand exactly where that comes in? Great. So I'm going to open up a speakers list on the amendment here, and who we got? Anybody? Okay, I'm going to recognize Sarah first. Alec, please.
I definitely understand where you're coming from, Stephen, and I agree that diversity and inclusion is important to consider in this case. The only thing I'm worried about is that it's going to have 8 voting members in the SA, and if 4 of them are exec members, that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I would rather make it less people on exec and more regular voting members of the assembly. So, I mean, I guess that's all I have to say, but I think we should choose between outreach and diversity inclusion and not necessarily force them both to sit on the committee.
Point of information?
Yes.
How many people are totally on this committee?
15.
Okay.
Would this be adding another person, or would it be taking away a spot? Like,
mm-hmm.
Taking away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
why. Okay. So next on the speakers list is Vice President of Finance, Prasad.
So we, someone actually motioned this during AFSCON, and we talked about it for an extended period of time, and I think at least the consensus we came to there was that diversity and inclusion, like saying that you want the VP diversity and inclusion on the committee means that you think that, you know, some constituency on campus is underserved from a funding perspective, And that's very true, but then I think the task of diversity and inclusion as a whole, like we've said so many times this year, like how do you define diversity? And diversity can be defined in so many different ways. So like I don't think putting the VP diversity and inclusion there necessarily targets the multicultural community. And if you are saying that, then should the LGBTQ liaison be there because the LGBTQ community is underserved, or should the freshman representative be there because the freshman population is underserved, or the minority representative, or the arts, then you can basically say that any of the constituencies that we do represent are underserved, and that person needs to be there. I think that it's the VP outreach's job to be engaging people with the student assembly, and the VP outreach should be working in tandem with the VP diversity and inclusion. If there is an explicit gap or void for funding in that area, then those two should be communicating.
Okay. Next on the speakers list is Representative Cameron Pritchett's Promise Pritchett.
So I think that I agree with the simply because the VPDNI's part of their mission is to ensure that all acts on the student assembly are inclusive. And with something this important in allocating this amount of money to these funds, I think it's important to have a perspective in the room that is ensuring that the projects that we are allowing to receive money is not, they're not coming from the same community. And so part of the charge of the DNI is to look at all of the actions comprehensively, and I think they would do a similar function on the SAISD. Is to look at all the projects that we are granting funds to and see which parts of the campus are being impacted and which communities are having their projects being impacted. So I don't think, and to Sarah's point, I don't see an issue with there being 44 members on the committee. That's just as it being the first time this committee has taken effect. I think it's important that we have people who are internally elected to handle more responsibility on this book.
Next on the speakers list is Vice President Breeden.
So maybe you mentioned the point about how VP diversity and inclusion should work in VP outreach. That's so purely philosophical. I think it's fine when you start looking at what's actually going to happen. And the fact is, VP diversity and inclusion wouldn't just be representing multicultural issues. That's the point of including inclusion in there. And you made the point about the LGBTQ community. Yeah, they're lacking resources because they don't have an advisor. You know what I mean? There's the VP diversity and inclusion would bring to the table something different than VP outreach. We still have not clearly defined what outreach entails versus diversity and inclusion. I think I'm making a strong play for this because I think the committee is going to be sorely lacking, that diversity group. I'm also pretty frustrated about the point of adding on, we're adding on another exec board member. That's a structural issue, but I think it's our responsibility to represent every single community and every single constituency. And I just feel like the people that are on the committee already wouldn't be accurately doing so. There's no other phrasing in that resolution that ensures that we have people who are specifically representing diverse and inclusive interests.
Okay. The next on the speakers list will be Vice President Smith, but just so you guys know, there's about four more people on the speakers list. A bunch of people jumped on, so if you're waiting, it might be a second. Vice President Smith.
Yeah. The first thing is that I do think that we have pretty clearly delineated what the difference between outreach and DNI, what those jobs are, and I think we do vastly different things, though we, in theory, all should be working together, and we do. That being said, I think if your primary concern is that you want the funds you publicize and you want people to know about it, then, and that's your rationale for having outreach on there, I see no reason why outreach could not be on there and do the same thing that PR and outreach should be doing anyway, and instead replace that person with D&I. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I want D&I on there, but I'm just saying I think it makes sense in that sense, because I agree with what Stephen was saying, that it makes sense to have somebody, and Cameron actually saying it also, if you have somebody there whose sole job apparently is really to vet a lot of the stuff that we're doing and make sure that they are actually inclusive and say, well, look, most of our applications and everybody you approved came from X, Y, and Z, and you did not consider any of the ones from there. Imagine what that feels like. There's a perspective that has to be brought in there. And I get what you're saying about it becoming tokenizing, but at the same time, the point of diversity and inclusion is for us to not be tokenizing it. And I don't think my job is not just solely to run to the minority community or the multicultural community, as everybody likes to call it, but everybody needs minority. That's not my full job, is to go there and make sure that they're being included. Yes, I want them to be included, but it just as much as I want black people, I have to make sure white people are included too. You know what I mean? So that, I think that's kind of the perspective that I'm bringing in here.
Thank you. Next on the speakers list is Representative Braziak.
To keep this short, I guess Ulysses kind of answered my basically said what I wanted to say. So I think we should take PR off of it and keep put it
outreach.
Oh, what?
It's outreach that's on.
Okay. Okay. Never mind. I just showed my.
Next.
Yes, I motion to amend the amendment.
Yeah.
And replace VP outreach with VP diversity and inclusion.
Okay. So you all know what that looks like. There should be
don't we have to decide together?
That's fine. Never mind. I withdraw my motion.
Okay. Next on the speakers list is Representative Hittinger.
So I feel like for an innovation fund committee that I don't feel that the D&I role is so inextricably tied with this committee, though I do feel like yes, it would bring a good perspective, but I kind of want to actually hear what goes on with this, so I'll yield the rest of my time to the chair.
Can we get rationale for this?
Yeah, because I think that I personally think that I wanted to find Stephen's amendment friendly. I think that D&I should be on it, but I think that outreach meets with a lot of organizations that I don't think aren't explicitly in the role of D&I. For example, like Ross will meet with environmental organizations and you can name any other list, and if this is supposed to like reach all parts of campus, you know, in terms, then I think that outreach should be involved in it also.
Okay. I call the question on the resolution.
On the amendment. The question's been called on the amendment. Is there a second?
Can we clarify the amendment?
Yeah.
So the amendment is as it stands originally, which is just adding the VP diversity inclusion after Vice President Outreach. So there is a second. There's dissent. Would you like to explain your dissent?
I just want to make a point. Do you want me to
Do you withdraw your motion, Vice President Desai?
Yep.
Motion withdrawn, and next on the speaker's list is Vice President Luke Sevitz.
So I guess having diversity, inclusion, and outreach both on this committee would be very beneficial. And just thinking of the composition of the student assembly next year, that means that every single one of the four voting members of the student assembly that are not, that means all of the four spots on this committee that are also voting members of the student assembly and voting members of appropriations committee have been taken. So that means that, like, I don't know, I just think that, like, that leaves no room for flexibility, and I think that there should be more flexibility. I'm kind of against having so many positions predetermined by, like, labeling them. It has to be this position, this position, this position. I think that we all have different views that we bring into the room, and I'd like to see more flexibility. So I'm not really sure how to do that, so I don't have a amendment or whatever to the amendment, but I think that we should look at how to make it a little bit more free-flowing so it's not so predetermined.
Okay. Next on the speakers list is Representative Iwoka, and then we have Representative Block.
Okay. Actually, Melissa said everything I wanted to say, especially considering that my condition's unfilled at this position at this time. Like, and I think that the LC rep does like what might want to sit on this position next year in this council committee next year. I think D&I and outreach both could potentially be great additions to this, but I think that I agree with Melissa. We should leave it undetermined as of now, and hopefully, you know, D&I will take it upon themselves or herself to get involved in this committee next year.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Block.
Yeah, I mean, building off what they say, I actually don't think we should force outreach or require outreach or D&I to be on it, because I think that we're starting a really bad precedent, which is that D&I and outreach should be doing everything, right? And they don't need to sit on every committee. And I actually saw, and not to call the truth out here, but during the internals, you know, we had this discussion about like, who's going to be on appropriations, and you were like, well, we need to have PR because we need to do PR, and we need to have outreach because we need outreach on the appropriations committee. And, like, I agree with that, but, like, that's not the sentiment that we need to have going forward, you know? And I think that when we require the idea that we need to require them to be members of the committee to do their job, I think is very faulty. Mm-hmm. And I think that we'd be better here to actually strike Vice President Harvey Chandler. They should be outreaching this regardless of whether they're a voting member of it, and choose the eight SA members who are best able to look at projects, innovation projects, and decide whether or not they're good projects. The fact whether they're voting members or not should have no bearing on whether or not they're able to outreach this or whether they're able to do some D&I with it. So I oppose this amendment, and I'm actually after this going to amend that we just strike outreach because I think this is a bad precedent to set.
Next on the speaker's list is Clerk Chang.
I guess I'm a little bit confused because when I read the resolution, my thought was that the committee is just there to review the application. I'm not sure if there wasn't any outline of extra functions of outreach or anything like that. So, like, in my mind, if you're going to create a committee for this, it really should just be like a committee that reviews the application and has the effect people
do like that each and everything that, like, just felt like that's
supposed to happen anyway. I don't see the need for having those
people explicitly on the committee if it's only purpose is. Okay. I'm sorry. What's the name?
Do you have me on the
speaker list? Yeah, you're on the second. That extinguishes our first speaker's list on the amendment. Is there anybody who has not spoken already that would like to speak? You're on the first. I can put you down for the second. You're after, wouldn't you? Yeah, you did. It was Balak, Desai, Pritchett, Breeden, Smith, Braziak, Pittenger.
But that was not the original.
That was on the amendment. Next is Vice President Desai. You're next.
Yeah. So the reason that I originally wanted outreach on the committee or why I think D&I should be on there isn't because, like, they need to be on the committee to do outreach. It was because I think that by the definition of their role, as Adam alluded to, the VP outreach has to be in tune with what students on campus outside of the assembly want or need, and they should be, like, bringing those sentiments back to the committee. I actually, like, after thinking about it, do agree with the VP D&I argument because I do think that the concept of diversity and inclusion should be like a principle that is incorporated into the decisions that this committee makes in terms of the funding gifts that it chooses. So I was actually going to propose an amendment to strike finance and president. And if they want to be on the committee, they can motion to move themselves on. But I do think that there is like an integral role in terms of the view that is represented by D&I and the view that is represented by outreach, not necessarily like the function of doing outreach or enforcing D&I, because like Jeff said, like that has to happen anyway, which is why I don't think VPPR should be on it. So I don't know if I'm allowed to amend the amendment since this changes the initial nature of it, unless he finds it friendly, but I vote to strike President and VP Finance.
Yeah, fine.
Cool. And then I call the question.
Wait, so sorry, is the amendment to add D&I and strike President and Finance?
Yep.
Both sides. Three,
so let's just get down the language. Just everybody's questions will be answered if we figure this out here.
Yeah.
So Reneal, strike VP Finance,
and strike President of the Assembly.
I'm sure they're going to be showing up anyway.
So it will include. Now it says Assembly at large during their organizational meetings, which must include the Vice President of Outreach, the Vice President, and the Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And the, hold on, I'll get to you 1 second, Jill. The original amendment proposed by Vice President Breeden, do you accept that change? Okay, go ahead, Jill, what's your question?
It's an open committee, right? So if it was a CALS organization, the CALS rep could come and not vote, but they could attend the committee, correct?
Sure.
Okay, because I think that alleviates a lot of, if it was something that was particular to a community, then there I could come and then make sure that voice is heard, represented.
I mean, I'm not an ABSCOM, but I show up every week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So
and I think that would be good practice. Yeah. That's something that everybody should keep in mind moving forward.
Wait, is it open? Or will there be confidential things where you'll say people can't come?
To the student assembly, it's open.
Okay.
Some normal ABSCOM meetings are open, all members of the assembly.
That's great. Okay. So before we had all those couple points of information, the question was actually called, is there a second? And there was a second over here. So if there's no dissent, we'll move. Yeah.
So we'll also continue and say, one chair, which cannot be either the vice president of outreach or the vice president of diversity.
No, I specifically want it. I don't want either the PPF or the president to chair this committee.
Yeah.
So it actually doesn't, surprisingly, does not change anything else, even though there's a bunch of other stuff stipulated. That's like sound in and of itself, that little amendment. Any other questions before we get going? Okay, cool. So the question has been called. It has been seconded. We'll now vote on the amendment. Can we do a hand vote, like a placard vote? Is that fine? Cool. So by hand vote, put them up high, please. All those in favor of the amendment? All those opposed? Two. And all those abstaining? By a vote of 15 to 2 to 1. Yeah, that's right. The amendment passes. Sorry. So we're now back into the second speaker's list, original speaker's list. and first is actually Trustee Boris. Let me know if you want to be on the list. Right now it's Boris, Smith, Desai, Block, and Gillen.
Okay. I have just a bunch of quick questions. Let's just rapid fire this.
All right.
Cool. You're expecting this to grow over time, right? That's what I'm getting from your charts. It's really going on 1.9. Amazing. What are the amounts of funding you're looking for?
Right now?
Fund projects of what sort of magnitude?
So we left it open to the committee. According to the current payout in the appendix, and you could see that if it were to be withdrawn next year, I think it's around $20,000 that the committee would have.
Right. No, my question is, are you looking to fund one $15,000 project or many $1,000 projects?
So that was the rationale behind the voting breakdown in terms of the cutoffs, is that like if an incredible project comes through that deserves the entire $21,000 on day one, like we can roll some tide. And if not, you know, we can fund $21,000 projects.
Okay.
The committee has that flexibility.
Okay, cool. Next question is on eligibility on page 3, section 6.
Yep.
So it says they have not previously requested a funding gift from SAF. Is there a reason you're doing requested and not received? Like, what if they submit an application, it wasn't good, you'd say, oh, maybe we want to do it next year?
It was supposed to be so that, like, the actual reason was that a group couldn't just keep submitting the same application over and over. The point being is that this committee is supposed to be, like, there are no, like, application requirements or, like, documentation requirements, and, like, you have the ability to make your case. So if the committee representation doesn't change, it didn't really make sense why a project, like, would change unless the purpose had changed. Like, if a new incident had, like, happened on campus that made it more relevant, then the purpose would have changed. So, like, the exact same proposal to do the exact same thing shouldn't be seen more than once.
I think that problem can be easily solved by simply saying no when you realize it's the exact same proposal, and this provision as it is might reduce a lot of the flexibility of the committee in funding things where they say, oh, now's not the time, or we don't have money now, or for any of the other reasons why you might think it's a good project, but it got rejected.
Okay.
So would you be friendly to moving that to who previously received the funding gift from the SAF?
Sure.
Cool. And then
I didn't want to do received because I thought if a group actually wants to ask for more money and it was a legitimate project, they could get more money. You can strike it.
Well, you can strike it.
Okay.
Cool. And then lastly, just there are a number of things that this says it has to be the last source of funding. The changes you want to make to special projects is going to say it has to be the last source of funding. I think that's one of the criteria used in Byline as well. I just think that's like there are a number of different funding boards now that each request that you go to them last, and that just means they could all continually deny everyone. And we might want to set some discussion about like what the correct order is to go through these funding boards.
I think we can. I would strike that.
I mean, I see why it's important, especially for this fund, that it be like not the primary thing you go for. But
I think that impedes on the idea that it's going to be an innovation fund, because
the whole vision is that people are going to have great ideas like these, and they'll immediately think, you know, there's this great fund that will provide seed capital for this project that will enhance student life on campus. Whereas this means you have to, you know, go through a million different hoops before you can even think about coming to the SA. So I think that immediately impedes the idea of innovation.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see where it says they have to be the last source of funding. It's just the clause C
could not have reasonably received full funding through any combination of other funding sources on campus.
So what that was meant to eliminate was the groups that like basically get turned down from SA,
right.
Like for example, like a group gets like they screw up their SAFC allocation, you know, they're short their $5,000 and they come crying to us, which happens already for special projects.
Right. But you explicitly say that lower, that it can't be used to make up for a mistake in an application.
Sure.
Is there your question, at least? Okay, sure.
Have you ever been distracting me then?
I had one more, I don't know if I'm out of time. But
I mean, you're long out of time, but I'll allow it. They've all been very helpful so far. Go ahead. All
right. I hope I keep up the streak. The only thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like we're not requiring that like it all be spent every year, and there should be some discretion in the projects that are put out. And I think putting in some clause that says, like, if that's the case, if I'm interpreting that correctly, putting that explicitly in, that there's not an expectation that we will always fund it every year, that we always use all of it every year. Because I think, correct me if I'm reading it, what it seems to be is if there were a really good project, there's no other way to do it, we want to have that on reserve. And I think people might fear that this turns into just another cash cow to groups that are connected or to do a small little thing that they want to do. And perhaps putting something explicitly in about, like, this is for that purpose and we're fine if it's not spent every year might help to clarify that group going forward. If I'm misinterpreting it, tell me.
No, I mean, I thought that was accomplished by, like, the closing of the account at year end.
Right, but that just says, like, it will. I think, like, putting explicitly in that we don't necessarily expect to spend it every year.
Sure.
Great. Okay.
I'll include a line.
Cool.
Let's move on.
Thanks.
I'm going to go back to speaking time 1 minute, unless anybody has anything groundbreaking to say. Vice President Smith.
I think all those were actually very helpful. I just wanted to address something that I mentioned earlier, like the last round we were talking about this. I wasn't advocating for capital expenditures. I wasn't saying that. I was just going through what we had talked about previously. The other thing was, somebody mentioned that they didn't think the bureaucracy, blah, 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 and how this isn't necessarily subject to the approval of the SA, but it's committee. Even if it is a subcommittee of appropriations, whatever decision comes out of it, it still has to go through the approval of the assembly, whether or not you explicitly say it in here or not. That's the process. So it's inevitably going to have to do that. I get we want to foster innovation and all this other stuff, but I still think we're creating another funding board and they still have to go through all these hoops to get to this particular fund. And I do think there are ways. I mean, I don't have the solution to this. I do agree, as I said, with cutting off the $5, the money that's actually put into the pot in the beginning. I think we should do that, but I don't necessarily think this is the solution right now. And also, the time is being introduced at the end of the year. It's reminiscent of youth of the university making grand decisions right before a major break, and nobody has adequate time to do input. Now, we do allow in our elections process for us to put referenda on the ballot. I think we should utilize that. I think we should talk about it a bit more, especially since it's going to be next year's assembly that has to look at this all over again. I will make the motion that I think we should consider this separately. I think we should first consider stopping the money as in the first veto for resolve clause, except the last part of the veto for resolve clause. And then like essentially do one where we're talking about ceasing the money after this year, and then separately we should consider this, because I don't think people are objecting to the first part. I think people have still a lot of questions and objections to this convoluted process after the fact. That's it. So that's my motion. I don't know if anybody's going to second it or okay with me.
Okay, we can repeat it for the record and everything so we have it clearly kind of by itself. That
motion
would be great.
To consider it separately. Motion to consider the first therefore resolve clause that says that injections into the SAS endowment fund via the annual SASC cease after the 2012-2013 academic year.
that's it. And the second part that we will be considering separately is the rest of it. So from and that, Appendix B, blah, 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 the amendment, blah, 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 blah.
Just to clarify the nature of what you're trying, that entire B is there for resolve clauses, kosher, because the Appendix B resolution it references strikes the $5.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah, so that one you want, it's the next, be it, for, it, yeah. Be it further resolved. You're motioning to to consider be it therefore resolved and be it further resolved separately, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron, you want to come sit by next to me?
But
I would love if you came and sat next to me. I'm not entirely sure what to do, honestly, here. So now we have them split.
Procedurally allowed to do that.
Yeah. So I guess we go back into discussion now that they're, or do we actually vote on splitting them?
It's essentially two separate, you're creating two separate resolutions.
Do we actually vote on splitting them now? Or is it just?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're having a debate over splitting them.
Okay, got it. Great. Thank you. That's all I needed. I was a little unsure of that. Okay, great. So open your speakers list on debate of the motion itself. So first is Block, then Marshall, and I'll take any others in a second.
So I mean, I don't really think this motion is that substantive when you look at what this bill actually does, because all you're doing in the status quo is stopping the $5 and then saying, here's a recommendation, we're going to debate it next year, and in yours, we're just splitting it and now debating these two things separately. Like, I think that if we pass this, we still have to have this entire debate next year. Literally, the only thing that this actually does is stops the $5 and presents a recommendation that Appropriations Committee has. And I will say that when you look at the recommendation that we have at hand, this really is a great combination of things that we can do because, the alternative is either you put it into the student activity fee, which can get lost, or people have mentioned capital projects, but really this is a really interesting way to give a smaller version of the capital project. I mean, there's no funds right now where groups can go to where they need $25,000. Or a $20,000 grant. And in the future, it's going to grow. Even if we start taking out the money now, in a couple of years, it's going to be $30,000 or $35,000 if we get the exact number. So I really do think this is a very strong recommendation, but I also think that right now we're debating semantics that don't really matter at all. I think that we should debate the entire thing, and worst comes worst, even if you hate this idea, we stop, and you pass it, we stop the $5 per year, and then we have this entire debate next year anyway.
Yeah, next on the speakers list is Representative Marshall.
I support this. Idea, I think there's a lot of, I'm not comfortable with the language about the innovation committee, but then you read some of the language about committed applications, and funded organizations are innovative in some circumstances, but I don't think it's a new group of students coming in and want to start this idea and have a new idea or see rescue or app or something like that. But it'll be a completely different group of students, and Nisha jumped onto that, and that's a great example of what the innovation committee with funding to do. I don't see reading like, maybe, like, it's under the funding. 5, 7 permitted applicants. I think there's a lot to be fleshed out with what an innovation committee is and what these projects are and what they look like. And I just see it being the same people coming and getting $20,000 to have a different performer or like speakers. I don't understand what's innovation. Like, I just don't feel comfortable passing this committee and the idea of another funding board. And it's being new to the SA and representing a lot of student organizations that don't interact with the SA, understanding all of this is like overwhelming and having a whole another one to understand. It's not going to be accessible to a lot of new students, and it's not going to get at what you guys are trying to do. And I think it needs to be discussed how an innovation committee with this amount of money would function in the future of the university. And I think we should stop and we should look, address this and then take a recommendation and think about this summer and have the new SA figure that out. And that this doesn't make a lot of sense to me, really. And the innovation committee.
Next on the speaker's list is President Gitlin.
I disagree with you, Jill. I think this really does outline the process. There aren't many more details that you can put in here. It's a lot more detailed than I even originally thought that it was going to be or should be. And then as far as communities, I think that there are a lot of organizations that reach out to me, that reach out to Roneal, I'm sure other executive board members, and I'm sure everyone here regularly, and such diverse organizations. It's not the same type of organizations. Obviously, you have the same ones who do, but you also have many, many more who approach us where we say we just can't do anything. And the other thing that I want to say is I think it's very rare when there's an opportunity for the SA to dramatically change the scope of its ability to change student life on campus. And I think that this is very, you know, this is very much a game changer in that sense. And I think that these opportunities come around not often. And I haven't seen it that often in my 4 years here. To see, when I saw that essay was on this, and I saw this in, I've seen them before, but I only took these from student activities, from student services in ILR. The fact that the essay played a role in this, even if it was just, you know, signing off on money, or the fact that, you know, maybe we would fund the next equivalent to the farmers market, or making sure that there's compost all over campus, I think that that dramatically expands the ability for the essay to make student life better. And I think that I'm not sure if you're ever going to be comfortable with it. So just be very clear if you're not comfortable with the details or you're not comfortable with the idea, because I, in my opinion, you might be confused.
Of the idea.
Exactly.
I give innovation to the reason, but
okay.
Innovation committee.
Next on the speaker's list is Vice President Desai. I got you.
So I completely agree with President Gitlin, and I think, Gil, like, the objections you're raising are, I think,
what?
Exactly why we shouldn't split it. Because if that's like the, if you split this right now, what's going to happen is we're going to stop the $5 and we're going to push this resolution back to the drawing board, and at the beginning of next year we'll start and we'll have an executive session to vent ideas after the new executive board talks about what they want to do, and then byline funding will get started. And it'll get pushed off for a semester, and then the spring semester will come around, and then we'll be dealing with the, and this is the exact project that requires so much discussion and requires so much input from so many different parties that it's the easiest thing to push down the table. And like, I have been trying to get this to a vote for 2 years now. And literally every time I want to do it, there's always something that comes up like, Ronil, like, we can't do it this week. There's too much on the agenda. Like, we need to have another meeting with ABSCOM to talk about. We need to have another exec session. We need to have another session with the SA to explain what the endowment is. And, like, I think just passing a resolution that just has, like, a starting point. Like, this is what you need to start on the table with to start discussing. Like, we're not passing anything. And, like, if the next year's assembly shows up and has the same reservations as you, it's like, yo, like, the details here are shit. And, like, this is not an innovation fund, it doesn't accomplish what we want, then fine, and they don't pass it. But at least they have something in front of them, as opposed to this starting with yet another executive session next year. Like, that was the point of this resolution.
Next on the speaker's list is Vice President Smith.
I'm going to actually agree with everything that all three of you have said, and I think you essentially reinforced why I want to put this resolution. I think, oddly enough, again, I don't think any of us are disagreeing with the merits of what is trying to be done, like fostering innovation and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us are still just very hazy on all the details, and the same thing that all three of you keep bringing up, it's like, you keep saying, we're going to have this conversation again. No, we are, you are not, we are, next year. And there's so much that has to be done. So I think the better way that that would have done this is if you just said, hey, let's stop doing this. Also, somebody brought up the point of like, this is just a recommendation, like, yeah, we have to have this debate all over again. Why are we having it now? Because we actually have to, the next assembly is the last year, the first off club, has to repass this again. So it would have been easier if you had just said, let's the first year of resolve fund, let's cease putting stuff into the fund, and as an appendix, here is a suggestion for something you guys might want to consider as a place to start, as opposed to saying in the resolution, let's amend the bylaws right now. And this is what we're going, and this is what we want to amend. And now none of the new essay for the brand new essay, over half of our essay next year is brand new. We're struggling with byline funding now already, and we haven't even had a meeting yet. And we have to figure out all of that, all these processes. And now you want to throw this in too. None of them are here to figure out, to understand what exactly we're talking about in this, and have this argument or this discussion, this debate now, but you want them to have it next year, at the beginning, or whenever. So I'm coming up from a leadership standpoint, that is thoroughly frustrating to have to try to coordinate these efforts now. So that's where I think I still think we should split this off. I'm not saying I hate the idea. I just don't think we're clear, everybody's clear up to the point about what the details, like Joe said, the details of the idea. That's all I'm saying. I just think we should keep the money and then move on.
Motion to vote.
Second.
There was a motion and a seconded, but there was dissent. I would estimate that the dissent is because we have a couple people still on the speakers list who are looking to voice some opinions that have not necessarily been heard. Do you withdraw your motion?
Do you guys really think you have to, like, comments that are going
to
change
people's minds? I think there's voices that we
haven't heard yet. Okay. Next on the speakers list is Representative Stefanko.
Okay, so I guess I have two main points. And they're both, I guess, responding a little bit to what you just had to say. So the first is that I think putting it as an appendix or saying let's move it to next year minimizes the amount of work and the amount of detail and the reasons why we have these details in this. And I guess I still don't understand why you guys are confused or like what details are hazy to you, because I feel like they're outlined pretty well. And then the second point is in response to whether or not you think this is actually an innovation fund. And I think that from the sentiment that I'm understanding from you guys is that you don't think it's necessarily innovative because it has like a lot of bureaucracy or like there's necessarily like different voting procedures that are heavy.
None of that, everything you just said about it. But what you guys keep speaking on is what's written in the resolution. It's the very last detail from God's Father that says we have to repass and we have to change. That's what it says. I'm not making it up.
I understand that, but I'm saying but the response to that, which is to separate the amendments, doesn't necessarily make any sense and minimizes the credibility of the resolution that's already there that says this is where our starting point should be, not that this is just like an idea. I think the reason why we're bringing it up or why it's written in there is that this is a starting point or where we want this resolution to be at the start of next year when we're beginning debate, not just like an afterthought and like let's reopen this discussion. Like we put a lot of time in discussing this at AFSCOM this year and figuring out like this is what we think the resolution should be, and that should be the starting point for next year's discussion. Splitting the bills means that you might not have you might start at a completely new point, and I think our point is that that's not a good idea. Right way to go.
Next on the speakers list is Representative Pritchett.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Representative Stanko just said. But I'll keep it short. I don't think it's really a fair argument to say that the next year's assembly reason we shouldn't pass is because next year's assembly should be the ones debating it. I mean, we are elected representatives right now, and so we should be looking at the merits of the resolution and determine if this is something that we think is a good idea or a bad idea. Look and see if you think this innovation committee is something that's good or bad and vote on it, and next year it's something to take care of it.
Okay, that extinguishes our second speaker's list. Is there anyone who question has been called and it has been seconded? This is a vote. All those in yep. Sorry, that was unclear. It's a vote on the actual motion, which is to split the be it further resolved from the
consider the first
be it therefore resolved separate from the be it further resolved and so on. Sorry about that. So all those who let's look right, I'm like totally brain dead.
Who's in favor of splitting?
Yeah, in favor of splitting. Thank you. Okay. All those not in favor? Okay. And all those abstaining?
Damn, I forgot to be not in favor.
You're in favor?
Not in favor.
Not in favor. By a vote. I had 5-11-0. Is that what you had, Chelsea? Okay, this is your 5-11-0? By a vote of 5-11-0, the motion fails. So we're back into the actual debate on the amendment. The actual resolution. Who wants to be on the speaker's list? It's gotten all jumbled by here. Block. Anybody else? Okay, Vice President, or Representative Block.
Yeah, I mean, I'll close this up. I mean, Reneal, you're trying to vote on this today, or we... Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, I even have my own problems with the wording of this resolution. I think much what, like, Boris was talking about was that, like,
the more restrictions you put on the kind of groups you have, the less innovative it's going to be inherently. But I do not think that this is the forum in which we're going to debate the specifics of the proposal. This is completely, the way I see this, and there are many people who are going to be returning next year in this room, like the way I see this is a framework for which we're going to work and which we will edit it. And I think at the end of the day, it's a good way to move forward. We've spent a lot of time considering the alternatives that we have to this. And the only alternative we have are one big CapEx project, which no matter how much we pull the student body, we will never get a conclusive vote on. And the other idea that we have is we put it in the student activity, which is going to get lost. It's not going to make an impact. I think Adam said it best, and this is really an opportunity for the essay to create the kind of funding board. We can get $20,000 or $25,000 for, and it is a way that you cannot get that anywhere else on campus. And I feel very strongly about the idea behind this. I completely agree that there are problems with this, but I think we should pass this. And because otherwise, I don't think it's going to become a priority of the essay. I think it's going to get lost. And I think that I've seen these email chains from Nicoletti and Reneal from like 2011. They're trying to work on this. So he's completely honest in saying that this is something that's really been pushed off for a long time. So I really hope that you guys vote for this. And with that, I'm going to have a question.
Can I get a 3 second information?
Just for a second, I'm going to allow for a point of parliamentary procedure.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's the test to pass, because the charter change has to pass by 2/3 of the entire voting membership. Mm-hmm. So that's 18 people, and that's 18 people in the room. So, just as a.
Wait, there's 20 voting people in the room if you include John.
No, of the entire membership.
Right, you know what I'm saying, but there's 18 right. In the room.
Yeah,
so. Should we hold on?
Either way,
they need 18.
So, you need 18.
Point of information.
Yeah.
And maybe you might start to sponsor, or I don't know. So, if we're saying that, I just think I'm unclear. So, if we're saying via finally resolved in the final details of our club that the specific language pertaining to the SAIF created in this resolution be reviewed, represented to reflect the original intent of this resolution, and reapproved by the Student Assembly, President of the University, Dean of Students, and Director of the Assembly in the fall of 2013 before any of the provisions of this resolution go into effect, then we're amending our bylaws for FAKE, and then I don't know, we're like putting them in there.
No,
then,
so
actually,
so
bylaws here. Or whatever, you know, whatever.
So how I understand it is this. How I understand it is this.
First part is the bylaw change,
and then we have to do this all over again.
No, because the specific clause.
He does not yet.
Well, no, because of the specific clause. Hold on. We're nodding to different things here. Represented to reflect the original intent of the resolution. We are voting on a innovation fund. It's an innovation fund, yay or nay today, or Thursday, or whenever we vote on this year. And it can change. It's in flux, and it can change before it is officially written into the charter next year. You know, before it goes into the actual effect. But like, the point is that yes, you are voting on like what this presents, because that very specific clause, like, reflect the original intent of this resolution, implies that it will be a, this type of fund. Yeah.
And that's still subject to Gordon approving this year, anyway.
Correct.
So the details can be, as Jeff said, can be worked out.
Yeah.
And presented.
Committee membership and who's eligible and what's eligible and the timeline and how it gets voted.
Right. It's basically like how I compared it to the other day. It's sort of like the sequester, in that it's saying we have a certain amount of time to get it done, and we have to work on the details by that time.
So, point of information, what?
It's not exactly comparable, but it's the same concept.
I'm going to see you guys in order, so go ahead, of course.
The last clause says nothing will go into effect until this, right? That's referring to everything other than the $5 going in?
Before any of the provisions of this resolution goes in.
So then, if we're actually changing the charter, then that statement needs to also be put into the charter, because we can't have something from a resolution overturning what's actually written into the charter. We are changing the words of the charter, and we're just saying they don't take effect.
No, because these words of the charter are taking effect, because this does not pertain to the SAIF. This is the
right.
First be it, therefore resolved clause.
Sure, but then the second one writes into the charter the SAF. But I'm saying then your statement about this needs to be voted on again needs to itself be written into the charter, because you can't have a resolution overturning the charter. And the charter is going to say this exists in this form, and the resolution is going to say it doesn't exist until we vote on it again.
This isn't going to be written into the charter yet.
Isn't that what, that's what I'm asking, isn't what's going on earlier?
By the sounds of it, it's just asking for approval from this year's assembly and next year's assembly. That's how I take it. I don't know if that's how you're...
Be it further resolved that the following Appendix C be inserted at the end of the Student Assembly Charter. Appendix C, Guidelines for the Allocation of the Student Assembly Innovation Fund.
Right, but it says before any of the provisions in this resolution go into effect, which would include putting it in the charter.
Which would have to be set up.
Right.
With yes, with
right. The specific language pertaining to the... Okay, so we're not actually making a charter change then.
So we're not
after we vote today, will tomorrow there be a change in the charter, other than the $5?
The $5 wouldn't change either, would it?
Okay, so
that
all right. So motion to make an amendment?
Go for it.
All right, fall last line of the last be it therefore resolved clause, fall 2013 before Appendix C or subsection. Before Appendix C is added to the charter or subsection 3 is added to the bylaws. So, there you go. So now we're...
Okay.
Last line of the last be it finally resolved clause. Fall of 2013 before... Strike everything after that. Before Appendix C of this resolution is added to the charter... or subsection 3 of this resolution is added to the bylaws.
Okay. So then if that's the case, theoretically, if we split this, the $5 would still need a two-thirds vote, and the rest of this motion would need a majority, because it's not actually making any changes. Is that parliamentary? Is that correct?
I'm just reading for yourself. Can you say that again?
If theoretically we were to split this,
I think...
But I'm just saying then the entire thing requires a two-thirds. Because part of it makes a charter. Where if you split it, it'd be a majority for all the controversial stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
I'll
leave.
Okay.
So we're still voting on it as one.
Currently.
Can I make a deal for you?
I can agree, because that would be a yes and a no.
There's a motion on the floor to table until the next meeting, which would be Thursday. It's been seconded. All those in favor? The voice vote.
Aye.
All those not in favor? Great. Okay, it'll come up again Thursday.
All right. Next is Resolution 49.
All right. So this will hopefully be a slightly faster resolution. This is the same resolution that was presented earlier with regards to the off byline funding years. We got an email back from Scorton saying it conflicted with some language in the current charter. In Appendix B, he asked me to meet with Ari. We decided to move the resolution to Appendix B and then strike out the lines that currently exist there. Ari helped me phrase it and said that it would be helpful to have a separate section stipulating the requirements for all byline funded organizations during non-funding years, which is what this does. So same intent, same language. It's a little bit more streamlined and it mimics other language currently in the charter. Hopefully you guys have all read it over, but the intent is exactly the same.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to open up the speakers list. Lock.
I think we should, unless people really feel about talking about this, but we've literally already talked about this and we've already passed this, and then just a couple slight changes to make it work better in terms of wording. But I think appropriations committee-wise, it's been pretty effective, and I think that we've already passed it. I really don't think that we're going to gain anything by debating this for a really long time. So I think you had wanted to speak.
I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say streamlined language, what does that mean?
It means that whereas...
Do you have a specific example?
Yeah, previously it said off-year reporting in a separate section in Appendix B that said what they had to
do during off-year reporting, which was report on their use of the fee allocation and operations. I struck that entire clause and put those couple words into the section up top.
Yep.
I know, Jeff, I know you said we had this debate, but do you think it would be relevant to actually have disseminated the president's response to this? Because I think there are like, there are things that he says explicitly, like the student assembly charter provides for extensive off-year reporting by organizations, including meeting in person with the appropriations committee, blah, 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 and obliges the committee to file minutes of all its meetings with the office of assembly to provide public record of the context in which allocations were made or should be assessed.
You should forward it.
Okay. Because I'm just saying, like, some of these things I don't think are actually done right now. And I think that was part of his concern, if we're putting this in here and where the charter already like allows us to do certain things, I mean, we are doing them as it is. But, I mean, if you like, I mean, my vote is still the same, but I'm just saying, we should talk a little more. I just prefer that out there, maybe that might be relevant to the conversation, just so people have context for what we're talking about.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Mm.
This is also going to require 18 votes because it's a charter change. We have exactly 18 people, including the chair. Mm-hmm. So the chair would have to cast a vote, and no one would have to vote no for this to pass. Mm-hmm. But
I agree.
So
we
should probably get
the motion to table.
Why?
There's been a motion to table.
Second.
It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Next is Resolution 50, SAFC Funding Guidelines.
All right. Do we want to do this when they're not here?
No, I think they should be here.
Okay.
What?
Ron, how would you feel about moving to 54 and approving the exact voting commissioners? I mean, I think that that's something that, honestly, they've done a great job at. They don't need to be here for it. I think we can all agree on that, hopefully.
I think I'm laughing.
Sure.
Okay.
I motion move to Resolution 54.
Second.
So any dissent? Seeing none. Resolution 54, do you want to present it quickly?
Cameron's a sponsor on this one.
So last week, on Thursday, Maddie Gruber, talked about just the recruitment process we conducted this year, some of the last semester, targeting more underrepresented communities on campus, so freshmen, non-traditional majors like engineers and AAP, et cetera, and also different racial communities on campus, et cetera. And we're happy to report a very diverse applicant pool and then a diverse number of commissions. For example, we have every college represented on this commission now, and so I was very
10 seconds.
Right. So at the outgoing SSA, I'm very, very happy with the progress the SSC has made this year to really make inclusion and representing as many students as possible inherent in their mission.
Thanks, Cameron.
Call a question?
Yep. Sorry.
Call a question. Any dissent?
I would have asked this if the other people were there. Are all of these members, all these people members of like the same business fraternity?
I actually don't know that information.
None of them are members of a business fraternity.
Yeah, I think.
You mean of the
I think that I don't. I don't think anyone who applied was from.
None of the new members are in a business fraternity. So that's what.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're discriminating against them.
Yeah. But it's not illegal to discriminate against them.
Sure. We don't want to practice.
Okay. So seeing no dissent, I'm going to, if you're in favor, please raise your hand.
Melissa,
please, yes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah.
All right. What? You either vote yes or no.
I just want to be clear to Dean, none of the new members are members of the same business fraternity. That does not apply to the executive board. I just want to make sure that, like...
Yeah.
Four out of the... Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that, like, you don't feel like you were lied to later on.
Yeah.
So are you saying that four of the five executive board members are members of the same
district attorney? Like, that is the true same, but they've already been in these roles. Like, these aren't new roles. The only new person is the new co-chair.
The new
co-chair.
I vote the same.
I just want to make sure like, you knew.
Okay.
I vote yes.
Anyone against? Abstentions? By vote of 17-0-0 passes. Next on the agenda is 51, clarifying the purposes of SA special project funds.
Point of information.
Yes.
How long does this mean? Are we going to kind of roll through?
Yeah, till 6.
Yeah.
Okay, so
motion to move to.
I was going to motion move to 53 because I think that's another one that we should get done with.
Yeah,
since it does so much, Ms. Loris, I would really like to hear this.
So the reason that I'd rather do 51 is because I'm trying to prevent. Not that it's not substantive, but it's easier to be able to talk about it on Thursday. I think if we need to, whereas I think this requires more. Cognitive abilities.
I just thought we'd have a quick debate and whistle now and then have the more serious debate.
If it feels like it's going to be serious, I'd be open to motioning the table. I hope this one will be relatively simple.
51?
Didn't.
Okay.
I don't think
it's
very simple.
I think
that's
okay.
Okay.
Last time we presented this, there was a lot of controversy about it. I'd rather just hit, like take this one down. That is
okay. Fine. 53. All right. You got a minute.
Cool. So I sat here and been unable to motion or technically have the rights or actually technically sit at the table. Just haven't been following rules with me doing that.
Everyone have placed a sympathy card for Alex.
Not what I was going for. I don't need sympathy. I'm just saying it's a little silly, and I think it'd be good if the student trustee could debate and make motions. This wouldn't give us the right to vote or anything. It would simply be formalizing the position that I've been in for 2 years.
Okay.
Good for you. Call the question.
So technically, every student is an ex officio member of the student assembly.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they have debating rights, and this gives me debating rights.
Wait, all I'm saying is your title is very misleading because you're not adding student trustees as ex officio members. All you're doing is giving the student trustee debating power.
I'm open to a friendly amendment of the title of the
resolution. Aaron.
That's essentially what it's doing, and I mean, I looked through, like, had to look through everything like 3 times just because I thought it was in there as that, and it, I mean, the other two people are the tri-council representative. I was just going to say, I think that.
Because I didn't want it to seem like it was a paragraph. I made sure to leave it until when I was
Are there any other. Does anyone else want to speak on the speaker's list? There's a motion. What? Seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. If you're in favor of Resolution 53, please raise your hand. If you're not in favor.
Oh, John. Oh, John. Come on, unanimous. Oh.
Any abstentions?
I mean,
by a vote of 17-2-0. The chair's allowed to vote, technically. I asked Ari about it yesterday. Yeah. Not in reference to this resolution, but why not? By a vote of 17-2-0, 53 passes. Next is...
Well, he has been saying this for years, but then people don't listen to, like, finding friendly, like, he technically can't do that.
Yeah.
And he's been saying that for years, but nobody listens.
Okay, what's next on the agenda here?
He does complain.
What?
He's the only one.
Special Project Fund, 51. I'm fine if we don't get to that one, honestly. Go.
Okay, so I'm going to start presenting on 51 now. So in essence, the resolution is very similar to the one that was presented at the end of last semester.
The difference that I think is the key difference is under Rule 7, rather than a request having to be one that a student assembly member is quote-unquote involved in, it can either be one that, according to the text of the resolution, aligns with the purpose of a student assembly initiative or project, or projects that a student assembly member has been involved in. So either a student assembly member has been involved with this project, or what's it called? Or it aligns with the an initiative of the student assembly. So something like the Everyone campaign, because it does deal with women's health and safety, would fall under this purview and would be able to be aligned. So now at least we have the objective decision of saying, okay, was a student assembly member involved with this project due to their role in the assembly and not just because they're on knee board, or does this project align with what the student assembly is trying to accomplish? So what this blocks, which is what the original intent of the resolution was a group that applied for SAFC funding and didn't get it and comes to us and says they're an important organization and asks for special project funding. So basically this is funding student assembly initiatives, which is the goal of what should be in the student assembly budget.
Okay, first on the speaker's list, EVP Mueller.
Forgive me if it's in here, I didn't spot it, but I know one of the things that we had been talking about was sort of a conflict of interest clause of some kind. Is there any way that this could be, or that this is written, or it can be amended in a manner that would allow it so that anybody who is like a part of the organization or whatever can excuse themselves from? Yeah, but it hasn't been.
Is that part of like not the resolution, but is that part of like AFCOM?
I think it definitely is a part of the bylaw funding process. I think the better place to, rather than that being explicit to special project funding, I would recommend that a member of next year's assembly include that as like a provision to the standing rules or something, like any time a representative is entitled to vote that pertains to an organization they represent or they are a part of, they, you know, be asked
great
to excuse themselves.
I have no other questions.
Next.
I call the question.
Oh, Trustee Boris.
Okay, start with Frost.
Two questions. In rule, what is becoming three, when you say who can request it,
mm-hmm.
Is there a reason you're only limiting it to those three and not leaving it open? Like, say an administrator has a project and needs something, or, like, is it important to only have it be vendors, student organizations, and these members of the assembly, right?
So the reason it has to be student organizations, we need to transfer the money to someone.
Okay.
We need a university account to get money transferred from it. A seated member of the assembly is pretty straightforward.
Sure.
And then...
But, like, if everyone wasn't registered as a student organization, they couldn't do this, right? So can we... My point is, why not just leave this to the future people to decide, right? And it seems odd that, like, vendors are included, but not, like, a... staff members that has something that's a cool project that would benefit students. I don't know, I'm just saying like this.
That's the reason that I included staff members is we thought that as a special project should be for students.
Right, so then why vendors, right? Like,
because the reason that's in there I think has to do with like the direct payment clause in the way that we like process payments.
Okay.
But that's only because that's what Ari told me, so I don't know.
Sure. I would make a
I wouldn't mind striking vendors.
No, that's not the motion I'm saying. I would make a motion to not strike, but not limited to, and just allow the next SA to decide whether they think it's appropriate to give to a certain group or not. Now it used to be can be requested by these groups, right? Any of these, but not limited to these. And you're striking that and limiting it to these three. And it just seems like an odd choice to make before we see what projects might be proposed.
Yep, block.
I really just think that if any like administrator wants to do something, they can contact an SA member, and the SA member and that administrator will do it together. So they include an SA member in that process rather than having a staff member or an administrator unilaterally.
Sure. This also excludes any student that isn't part of a formal organization.
But
right?
Then that
again, like, we wouldn't have anyone to transfer the money to.
It seems like all problems that will be resolved when you come and say it can't be done, and I don't know why we're in advance specifying only these three. I made a motion. I'm happy to vote on it.
All right, it just seems
like an odd thing to be putting forward.
Is there anyone else who wants to speak on the amendment? Okay, motion. Does everyone understand? Can you just explain once more what...
Sure. So it used to be that these were the suggested people they could request, and anyone else could. It's a special project. There might be special circumstances, and we put it out here. The change that's made here is that it can only be seated members of the assembly, a student organization, or vendors. Right? And so all my motion is saying is do not strike, but not limited to, and let the next assembly decide with, if a weird request came forward where it weren't this three, whether or not they wanted to put, they wanted to fund that project. Why make that decision in advance?
I don't care why it matters.
I think you're making an argument that's kind of
It matters for exactly the reasons you said.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else wants to speak?
Successful motion.
Okay. I really appreciate Horace's debating prowess.
Thank you.
Great. I don't think this is a huge change in terms of the requirements. I mean, I think the biggest requirement is, first off, mandating that when we have a special project request that is 50% of the special project fund, that we have a 2/3 vote of the Appropriations Committee. Andrew's talking about the fact that this is a reminder, basically, to the Appropriations Committee that there's supposed to be projects that are in line with directly what we're working with, or with what the kind of projects that we work on. It's not very restrictive, it's more just a good guidance to Appropriations Committee. And unless people have other objections to it, I'd have to read motion to vote.
And a motion to vote. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will vote. If you're in favor of this, please raise your hands. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I think I counted you. 18. Not in favor. Abstentions. By a vote of 18-0, it passes. And I didn't want to say this before the vote, but I completely agree with what Jeff is saying. I don't think the standards are changing that much. I think it's giving APSCOM an actual framework to work off of. And I think that's the difference between this resolution and the one in December or late November. It's that this is just formalizing what we already do, whereas that was changing what we were doing. So I think it's good that you guys passed it.
Also, can we congratulate Bora on being the first person to ever use one of our resolutions immediately?
Technically, he doesn't have debating rights until Scorton grants them now.
That's true.
Maybe Scorton will see the two people who said no. And
okay. I think that's...
Yeah, it should.
I think that's it, right?
The new Rule 3. What would be the new Rule 3? It's the first page.
What was that laugh? Nice laugh. Wow, we still have a good amount for Thursday. The time is now 5:45. Adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.